Great to be with you this morning. We're going to start in Philippians chapter 3. So please take your Bibles and go to Philippians chapter 3. Today's Sunday. It's November already, isn't it? Gee whiz. Sunday, November the 2nd, 2025. And we are going today look at our past, or talk about our past. Maybe that's a better way to put that. You know, there are verses in the Bible that have two parts to them, like the one in Hebrews, lay aside every weight and the sin, and then run with patience the race that is set before you. Put off the old man, put on the new man. The one in Philippians 4 that we're familiar with, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Here in Philippians 3 is another one of those verses that has two parts to it. So let's read Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things that are ahead. So it's kind of a two-parter thing, because he said, one thing I do, forgetting and reaching forth. See that? So, forgetting those things that are behind. Well, what things? Well, certainly not God's blessings, because God already told us, don't forget all my blessings. So we're not to forget all of God's blessings. Most of the time, I think when we look at this verse, we think about forgetting our ugly past that God has forgiven us for, that it's over with. And that's a very good thing, very important thing. And there are other things that we ought to forget as well. But first, let's focus on forgetting our junk, our stuff in the past. And really, the only way to do that is by accepting God's forgiveness. Paul, who wrote this epistle, wrote what God told him to write. And by revelation, he said what he did was to forget those things that are behind, reach forth unto those things which are ahead. He had some very ugly things in his past, killing God's people. I don't know if it gets any worse than that, does it? And yet God forgave him for all of that he did. That's why accepting God's forgiveness is so very important, because guilt, shame, sin consciousness, condemnation, all of that stuff interferes with your relationship with God. It hinders your prayer life, which in turn really prevents you from really trusting God. Remember in 1 John 3, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And you know, a person can know how good God is. Yes, God is very good. He's kind. He's loving. They can even quote verses. You know, I know it says this in this place in the Bible. But because of sin consciousness or condemnation, a person can feel like, who am I? Why would God do this for me? Why would God just forgive me for this terrible thing or terrible things that I've done? Why would he do that? Why would God want to do anything for me because I've been such a horrible person? And that's as a result of carrying and not letting go and forgetting those things which are behind. It's because of not accepting God's forgiveness. Look at Galatians, back up a bit to Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians 1:13, the Apostle Paul wrote, "For you have heard of my conversation or my behavior in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." Oh my goodness. And yet this man went from killing God's people to being one of the greatest believers of all time. How did he do that? Look at 1 Corinthians, back up a couple books, 1 Corinthians 15. You know, we could read a bunch of verses that tell about stuff Paul did. You're probably familiar with a lot of it, but it's just horrible. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. And how did he overcome? Look at the next verse. But, by the grace of God, I am who I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. There it is. That's the key. The grace of God. That's why I am who I am. Paul understood grace. And I think you know grace means divine favor, something not earned, something not deserved, something just here you go. That's what grace is. And we're saved by grace. Doesn't it say that in Ephesians? We're saved by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's a gift. Salvation's a gift. It's by grace. Paul saw himself how God sees each one of us as born-again ones. Well, I think we talked a little bit about this last week, that there's no more guilty verdict for us. We're unimpeachable. We're holy, accepted before all these things that we read about in the church epistles, that God says, this is who you are now, which is basically the new you. Sometimes it's called the new man. Put off the old man, put on the new man. And it's by God's grace. And Paul chose to accept God's grace, to accept the forgiveness. It's one thing to know that, yes, God is a God of grace. He's wonderful. Yes, God is a God of forgiveness. What about me? Am I really forgiven? I mean, especially for that thing way back then. I mean, it's over. As a born-again one, slate is wiped clean. It's gone. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Getting those things which are behind. This is real familiar. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. For the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And the beloved there is Christ. We're accepted in Christ, not in our great whatever. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood. He died. What else do we have? The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. It's grace. Paul didn't allow guilt and condemnation over what he had done in the past to rule his life. And obviously, he had to deal with his mind. Do you think? You know, when he realized, because I don't know if we read that verse or not, but it says he was very zealous. He was committed. He really thought he was doing the Lord's work. Well, I'm doing really great for God. I'm getting rid of this nasty group of people that arresting them, having them beaten, murdered, executed. And then one day, what was it like when he realized, what have I done? Oh, Lord, what have I done? So the point I'm making is he had to work with his mind to accept that God had forgiven him by grace and let it go, forgetting those things which are behind. I'm sure he had to work with his mind. Do you sometimes? I do. But he accepted God's grace and believed what Christ had accomplished for him in the new birth. You know, that verse that we read in 1 Corinthians where he said, by the grace of God, I am who I am. He didn't say, by my long prayers, I am who I am. By my commitment to the one true God, I am who I am. By all the sufferings that I go through, I am who I am. By my understanding of the scriptures and preaching everywhere I go, I am who I am. No, by the grace of God, I am who I am. And for you and me, by the grace of God, we are who we are. We are who God says we are, and sometimes it looks huge. What, I'm righteous before the Almighty Creator? I'm holy, I'm unimpeachable, I'm unblameable in His sight, and He's forgiven me everything? Yes. By grace, I am who I am. And, you know, so much of Christianity has it backwards. There's so much teaching about the more good things that you do, the more you pray, the more you read your Bible, the more you love, the more you give, and those things are wonderful, but the teaching that the more you do those things, that God just sees you as, okay, you're doing good, you're holy in my sight. That's backwards. It's totally backwards. Paul built his spiritual life on who God made him in the new birth and what God did for him the moment he got born again, same as he did for us when we got born again. By his grace, I am who I am. Who am I? I am who God says I am. So we get rid of all the guilt and the shame and the condemnation and the sin consciousness by accepting God's grace and forgiveness, by believing what God said in His Word, by accepting that Jesus Christ is the one that paid the price. And if all Jesus Christ went through to pay the price, it says in 1 John, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world, except for that thing I did. Doesn't that sound silly? Yeah. What, do we got to have a special Savior for you because your sin was so big? No. But it's accepting what Jesus Christ accomplished, accepting who we really are in God's eyes. That's how Paul did it. Let's go back to Philippians where we were. Philippians 3. Let's just read those two verses again. Philippians 3, verse 13. Brethren, Philippians 3, 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. And I count not myself to have apprehended, meaning we're not at the gathering together yet. Okay, we're not there yet. But this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And it takes work to forget some of those things that are in our past. It takes work. The battle's in the mind, our thoughts and our emotions. You know, sometimes you can think about something you did in the past that was horrible and it just makes you sad. Forgetting those things which are behind. It's over. It's over. It takes work sometimes. But it's not just forgetting those things which are behind, but this is a two-parter. Forget those things which are behind and then reaching forth unto those things which are before. It's not just letting go. It's two parts. Forget the things and reach forth to the things which are before us. And that would be spiritual things. Pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, think about, you know, where are our priorities? Forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forth to those things which are ahead. Well, everybody has things to do. God's not saying, hey, forget the past now. Okay, this week you got to shop, so get your groceries done and reach forth to cleaning the house. Everybody has stuff like that to do. And we'll see in a few minutes that the context of this is mature believers. Forget the things that are behind and reach forth spiritual things. You know, it's like priorities. Verse 15 says, let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded. And that word perfect, we had it, I think, a couple of weeks ago. It's that word that means mature. For those of us that are mature, be thus minded. What minded? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are ahead. Those who are spiritually mature forget those ugly things in the past, and they have their priorities in order. Spiritual things. Where are the priorities that we have as born-again ones? Go to Ephesians 4, if you would. Ephesians chapter 4. So now one more point on this forgetting the past. Forgetting those things which are behind. Okay, my junk. All right, I get that. I need to do that. I need to just accept God's forgiven and it's over with. Not bring it up again. If it pops in my head, bye-bye. Change the channel. Turn it off. But what about forgetting the things that other people have done that hurt me in my past? How long do you want to carry it? Well, the rest of your life? How long should we carry that kind of baggage? And I say baggage because it's not healthy, mentally or physically. Carrying bitterness, anger, animosity towards someone, even if they were totally in the wrong. Not forgiving and forgetting those things is mentally harmful and physically harmful. Research shows that anger can adversely affect your immune system. Isn't that something? From a medical study, it said, anger, frustration, and sadness can take away your youth thanks to an increase in the stress hormone, cortisol. Gee, in Philippians, didn't God say be anxious or stressful for nothing? You know, sometimes people think the Bible is a book. Oh, I don't get it. That's a book. That's a bunch of rules and regulations. I don't want to. God knows how our bodies work because he designed them. God knows what anger will produce in our physical bodies. He's the designer of us. And here's the owner's manual, the user's manual, right here. Okay, let me read that again. Anger, frustration, and sadness can take away your youth thanks to an increase in the stress hormone cortisol. An increase in cortisol has been shown to shorten telomeres, which are located on the tips of your DNA chromosomes and linked to biological aging. A 2011 study found that forgiveness reduced cortisol response. Forgiveness. And from John Hopkins, studies have found that the act of forgiveness can reap huge rewards for your health, lowering the risk of heart attack, improving cholesterol levels and sleep, and reducing pain, blood pressure, and levels of anxiety, depression, and stress. Forgiveness. You know, for us, we don't really need that information, but sure is interesting to hear it, isn't it? God says forgive. Okay, he must be right, because he's God. God's not just saying, look, what else can I have them do? I know, forgive everybody. Let me come up with something else so they stay busy. God wants us blessed. Ephesians 4:32, we're all familiar with this. It says, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And the context of this, I'm sure you know, is the renewed mind. The putting off of the old man, putting on of the new man. This is cool because this verse has both. Both your junk and other people's junk. It says forgive others. Would that be their junk? Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Your junk. Both junks in there. Well, how did God forgive you and me? As God sees us now, how does he see us? Does he see us as ugly sinners? Is he looking at all our junk? When we make a mistake, is God going, that figures? Yeah. How does he see us? God's word says we are righteous in his eyes. God says to us, there's no more guilty verdict for you. It's gone. It's paid for. All that you did, it's paid for. You are holy in my sight. You are accepted. You are forgiven. You're unimpeachable, unblameable. You are holy. That's how he sees us. So God said, forgetting those things which are behind and the things that others have done to you and me, we forgive them and we forget that too. Gone. And you know something? It really doesn't matter who or when or what the circumstances were of someone who hurt you, someone who treated us unfairly. God says forgive, and we put it behind us. I did a recent podcast. I think it's the latest one I did. You know, those little five-minute podcasts I do. The title of this one was, Did You Have a Bad Childhood? Because that's a thing. That's a thing now with some people. And psychology even puts labels on it. Yes, this is business. One of the examples that I used, that I talked about in that podcast, was Joseph. His brothers, his older brothers, decided, let's just kill our brother. That's a little unhealthy environment for a childhood, isn't it? And they said, let's just sell him. Isn't that human trafficking?
Yeah.
They sold him to slave traders when he was 17 years old. And then it got worse. You know, Potiphar bought him, and then he just did what he did, worked diligently, ended up running all of Potiphar's house until Mrs. Potiphar. And he went, no, I'm not doing that. And then she lied, and he ended up in jail. In prison for like 2 years or something. The point that I was trying to make is that Joseph could have spent, after when he was sold to the slave traders, he could have spent the rest of his life bitter, angry, resentful, miserable the rest of his life. But he didn't. He kept trusting God. And through that whole record, if you read it in Genesis, it says the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with him because he was with the Lord, continued to trust God. So, we put it behind us. You know, there's three main reasons that people don't forgive or won't forgive someone. The first is that person doesn't deserve it. I'm not going to forgive them. They should know better anyway. I'm not going to forgive them. They don't deserve forgiveness, not for what they did. That's one. Second one is the person's not sorry. They're not even sorry for what they did. They've not apologized. They didn't come up and go, hey, I'm really sorry, but I'm not forgiving them. They're not sorry at all. And the third is some people think that by forgiving someone and letting it go, it excuses their bad behavior. It doesn't excuse anything. It just takes it off of you and you're not carrying it anymore. And you know, you can't find those three reasons in the scriptures. Beloved, if someone's not sorry, you don't have to forgive them. Dearly beloved, if someone doesn't really deserve forgiveness, you don't have to. You know what we did find in the scriptures? What we did find in the scriptures was God says, forgiving even as Christ has forgiven you. That's what we did find, right? And remember Peter asked Jesus, hey, if my brother offends me, I mean, how many times do I need to forgive him? Like seven? And Jesus said, yeah, seven times 70. And that doesn't mean we carry a scorecard around with us either. And we certainly can remember our Lord Jesus Christ in his great agony saying, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. They know not what they do. let's back up to verse 31. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You don't need to turn there, but Colossians 3:8 says, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. God says, stop it. It's not healthy for you, mentally or physically. Put it away. And it's sad because sometimes people carry that hurt that they received for years. They just carry it for years. And sometimes people say that, you know, well, yeah, I forgave them. I forgive them. But they don't let it go. They still remember it. And that's why I love that in Philippians, forget it. Put it away. And it, you know, it takes work. You know, for all of us, it takes work. But, you know, I was thinking of something personal. I'm not going to share it because we'll all go through it. It takes work. There's stuff in our past that if it creeps up, you have to just change the channel and throw it out. It's over. God has forgiven you. And this is not to say that we just allow someone to continue to hurt us over and over and over. I'm not saying that. There's times when we have to just graciously excuse ourselves. And the analogy that I like is get out of the pool. You ever been in the pool and then somebody just wants to keep splashing you and splashing you? Hey, come on, quick splashing me. Sometimes we just have to go over to the side and get out of the pool. I don't want to be splashed anymore. We just graciously excuse ourselves instead of grabbing them by the... No, I'm just kidding. Oh, my goodness. But we still need to forget those things that are behind, whether it's our junk or somebody else's junk. Forget it. Let it go. And then reach forth to those things which are ahead. Godly things, spiritual things. There is something that really keeps us from forgetting great past hurts. Something that keeps us from really forgiving and letting it go. And that is to replay it over and over. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you get into conversations and things are going on and somebody shares an incident or something and then, oh yeah, well, you know, back in whatever time, you know, then this guy did, whoa, what do you want to replay it for? You know, it's like watching a movie you hated. You know, let's watch a movie I can't stand. Anybody in? Why? Don't bring it up. Forget about it. And again, like I said, it takes work. That's why putting it off, refusing to think about it, forgetting the past, and moving ahead, pressing forward toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. We're going to close in Philippians where we started. Not too far away. Flip back to Philippians. So in forgetting those things that are behind, one, accept God's grace and forgiveness. He's forgiven you and I of everything. It's over. Forget it. And number two, forgive others. Whether you tell them personally or not is not the issue. Just forgive them. It's forgiven. And let it go and forget it. And move ahead today. You know, it says in the scriptures, set your affections, your thoughts on things above, not on things of the earth. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And that one in Hebrews I mentioned before, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us, and not be bogged. Philippians 3, verse... Yeah, we'll get a little context here. Verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. You know, a few verses before, he gave all his credentials. You know, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was a Pharisee. I did this. I did that. And he said, all that stuff's a bunch of dung. And be found in him, verse 9, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, by believing. And that's how we got God's righteousness, right? We believed. We said, okay, Jesus is Lord, and I believe God raised him from the dead. Boom, here you go. You got it all. That I may, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained. We're not there yet. Either we're already perfect, or that could be translated finished. That's a better translation. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, as many as be mature, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. What a wonderful section in God's Word. And before I pray, I'd like to play a song.
Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever-wandering heart? Well, not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are.
Father, thank you for your grace, your mercy, for all that our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has accomplished for each one of us. And Father, may we do what we need to do with our own brains to forget those things that are behind and reach forth unto those things which are before. Help us, Father, when we struggle with things in our past, that we can remember that Jesus Christ paid the price for all sins, for ours and for everybody else's, and that we can not only accept forgiveness for our junk, but Father, we can forgive others and forget their junk too. I pray, Father, that we can all have a wonderful week ahead, enjoying your fellowship, and Father, having the great love in our hearts to reach out and bless others. Thank you for your continued love for us and for the great hope we have that our Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. And I thank you for the privilege of sharing your word this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.